You know, over the years, Medina Federated Church has been able to celebrate a number of dedications. In 1846, this sanctuary was built. It was a dedication service and a celebration of the church. The Medina Grade School had been their previous home, and they were able to move this far south and have their own building. And so they celebrated Medina Baptist Church at that point. 1961, the basement that is under us was dug, and when that was completed, it was dedicated and it was celebrated. It used to be the fellowship hall. People would gather down. I assume people who were under 6'3" gathered down there. 1966, the parsonage was completed. They put that together, I'm sure. It was a time of celebration and excitement about that. Howard and his family were the first ones to live in the parsonage then. 1988, the fellowship hall and the two offices were completed. There was a dedication that was done, and there was some excitement, there was some celebration. In 2009, the gym was completed, and the fellowship hall addition was completed, and the new kitchen was put in, and that building was dedicated, and there was celebration that we had that. In 2012, this wall was knocked out and moved that way. You guys would be sitting in the parking lot if we hadn't done that. But that was celebrated, and we also celebrated at that time our 175th anniversary, and we worshiped and we gave thanks to God for the work that he had done over the years, thinking back to 1836 when it all began for Medina, and grateful for the way God has blessed over the years. And as we think about that, that's reason for celebration, reason to give praise to God for the work that he has done. This morning we continue journeying through the book of Nehemiah. And this morning we come to Nehemiah chapter 12. And we're going to look at all of chapter 12 this morning. There are more baby names here for you to celebrate. But in this passage, we find the dedication of the wall that was built. And as we look at this dedication, we see celebration. And as we see celebration, we see recognition, not of how great a leader that Nehemiah is, but we see recognition of God's provision. We see recognition of God's blessing. And as a result of that recognition, celebration is what takes place. And so as we look at this passage this morning, there are three headings that we're going to use. The first thing we see is the priestly restoration. Then we see the wall dedication. And thirdly, we see the temple service designation. And as we look at all of these things and all of these topics here, we are in this time of restoration for the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. Israel's getting back on their feet, and they're being restored back to what they should be as God's chosen people. And you know what? That's reason for celebration. Before we dive into this passage, let's just pray for a moment. God, we are so grateful for today. Grateful that we can gather together this morning. Grateful that we can worship you here. And Lord, I pray that as we worship you this morning, as we look into your word this morning, that you would just speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our minds. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage, we will hear from you. Lord, there's nothing that I can share that's of any value, but Lord, you can impart your word to us. And I pray you would do just that this morning. Father, it's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. The first thing that we see here in this passage is the priestly restoration. We looked at some of the restoration that was taking place last week, and we observed how some of the things were being put in place. And the restoration of the priestly group, this is kind of the final piece of being the restoration of the people. But look at verse 1 with me. It says, these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Malak, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rahum, Meremoth, Iddo, Ganathoi, Abijah, Midjamin, Maadiah, Bilgah, Shemaniah, Joirib, Jediah, Selah, Amok, Hilkiah, Jedaiah. These are the chiefs of the priests and of their brothers in the days of Jeshua. Now, if we look at this passage here, the days of Jeshua is the marker of time. This would be, people would be able to look back and see this time stamp and see that it was in the days of Jeshua, and they would know and recognize what this time frame was. This is the first generation of these chief priests of this restoration period. These are 24 heads of the priestly families. These would be the patriarchs that they would look back to, and the patriarchs that they would look back and see as the beginning of this restoration period. And as Israel moves through this period of restoration, that would be the group that they would look back to and see as the leaders of this time. And so we see them and we recognize them. 15 of these names you heard when we read Nehemiah 10. 15 of these leaders signed that covenant. And 15 of those leaders are moving in this direction, seeking to continue this restoration that's taking place here in Israel. Now, the next group we see are the Levites. Look at verse 8. And the Levites, Jeshua, Benui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, Mattaniah, who with his brothers was in charge of the Psalms of Thanksgiving. And back Bukiah and Unai and their brothers stood opposite them in the service. So these 8 men are the heads of these Levitical families. And members of these families had been faithful in their service of the Lord for many years, even in exile. They were faithful to the Lord. And here we see them being faithful. And in this Levitical line, we see that they're the ones that are in charge of these psalms of thanksgiving. Some of these thanksgiving songs are recorded for us in the book of Psalms. If you turn to like Psalm 123 through about Psalm 136, maybe 138, in there, those are some of those psalms that are psalms of thanksgiving. And some of those psalms that David and Asaph wrote could have been psalms that were being sung here at this time. But it was a time of thanksgiving, and these psalms would be sang, and these Levites would be the ones who would come, and they would lead in this time of singing. Look at verse 10. We see the high priestly family mentioned here in verse 10. It says this, then Jeshua was the father of Joachim, and Joachim the father of Eliashib, and Eliashib the father of Joada, and Joada the father of Jonathan, and Jonathan the father of Jedua. Now, as we look at this, Jeshua was the high priest, the first high priest, upon their return back here to Jerusalem. Now, as we look at this list, this is probably not an exhaustive list. There's probably some other names there that are not recorded for us. Just some of them have been recorded for us. And I know you're thankful that not all of them were recorded. But according to Josephus, he is the Jewish historian that kind of, in the early part of the early church, he was the Jewish historian. But according to him, Jedua, the last one that's mentioned there, he was the high priest when Alexander the Great came on the scene. And so as we look at this list and we see this list, this is a list of the high priests. And the high priest would be the one who would go into the Holy of Holies and offer up the sacrifice for the people. He would be the one who would be the representative of God for the people, and he would represent the people to God. But it was that high priest that would do this, and this is that line of high priests. Now we see the second generation of priests in verse 12. It says, in the days of Joachim were priests, heads of fathers' households, Sariah, Mariah of Jeremiah, Hananiah of Ezra, Meshullam of Amariah, Jehohanan of Molokai, Jonathan of Shebaniah, Joseph, Aram, Adnath, Marioth, Helkiah, Edu, Zechariah, Ginnathon, Meshullam, Abijah, Zikri of Minimon, of Moadiah, Piltai of Bilgah, Shemua of Shemaiah, Jehonathan of Joirib, Mattani of Jeradiah, Uzai of Salai, Kalai of Amok, Eber of Hilkiah, Hashabiah of Jediah, and Nethanel. Jehoiakim was the high priest after Jeshua. And as we look at this, these are the 21 heads of families. And oftentimes they held on to their traditional names. We never do that, right? We never name our children after our own names, give them a junior or a third or a fourth. But that's what they did, is they laid these out. And these were that second generation of priests that were there. The next group we see are Levitical families. I'll take a drink before. It says, in the days of Eliashib, Johanan, and Jedua, the Levites were recorded as heads of fathers' houses. So too were the priests in the reign of Darius the Persian. And as for the sons of Levi, their heads of fathers' houses were written in the book of Chronicles until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. The chiefs of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, and their brothers who stood opposite them to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God, watch by watch. Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, Obadiah, Meshullam, Talmon, and Akkub were gatekeepers standing guard at the storehouses of the gates. These were in the days of Joachim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor, and the Ezra, and of Ezra the priest and the scribe. Now, this mentions here the book of Chronicles. This book of Chronicles is not the same book of Chronicles that we have in our copy of the scriptures. This book of Chronicles was a list of all of these different families. And it was kept up to date, and they kept those records and kept watch over that. And that's what he's speaking about here. Some of these names also appear in chapter 10. And I know as I read some of them, you guys were like, yeah, I understand. Boy, Nate, you're way behind, buddy. Some of you guys recognized those names from chapter 10, didn't you? I knew you would. We see them here, standing and giving thanks. We see them praising God and worshiping God. And notice there that they were following the commandments in verse 24 of David, the man of God. When David felt led to build the temple, he went before God and asked him if he could, and God said that he couldn't, but he would allow his son to do it. And so David began gathering all of the materials so that Solomon could build Solomon's temple. And David worked through everything and put together instructions for people so they would know what their jobs were, they would know what their assignments were. And as they restored and as this restoration was taking place, they gathered and they followed those instructions. that David had written for them. And they followed them, those specific instructions, and they worshiped God. Notice what it says here. In the last part of verse 24, watch by watch. Can you imagine having worshipers, singers, work in shifts? Graveyard shift. And you're a singer. Singers work in graveyards. But that's what was taking place. This constant praise and this constant giving of thanks before God. The priestly restoration was brought and put into place. The next thing we see here is the wall dedication. Look at verse 27. It says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, when we think about a dedication, what do you think about? The word that's used here carries the idea to offer up or to give. When the object is dedicated to the Lord, it's given to Him for His control. When a person dedicates himself to God, it is for that same reason. The wall project was completed in Nehemiah chapter 6. You think that the dedication would have been done then. The rebuilding was complete. But the rededication was not. There needed to be some things put in place. They need to be rededicated before they could rededicate, before they could dedicate the wall. And as they dedicated the wall, there was this recognition that God had enabled them to rebuild. And with this recognition that God had enabled them to rebuild, there was this public proclamation of it taking place. And with this public proclamation, there was celebration. You know, celebration is a reactive response. The bigger and better the event, the greater the celebration. And I hope you got your socks on today. Because we see a celebration here that breaks out because of what has taken place here. Look at verse 27 as it continues. They sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from districts surrounding Jerusalem and from villages of the Nephophites, and also from Beth-Gigel, and from the region of Geba and Azvameth. And the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. Now, we saw last week how the Levites were kind of gathered and scattered all around the area of Israel. But here in this moment for this rededication, they are sought in all of those places, and they are all brought. This is one of those all hands on deck kind of things. Everybody who is anybody has to come and is coming. And they were in the villages of Benjamin and the villages of Judea that we saw last week, and they're all summoned to come and to be a part of this dedication. And this is a call for them to return to Jerusalem. Now, these guys, and they were designated singers as they came. There will be, and we'll see this, a group of corporate worship where everybody is worshiping. Everybody is singing. But this group of people, they are designated talented singers coming to lead this dedication in worship. And they are summoned to come. And look at this, singing with cymbals and with harps and with lyres. This is going to be a great vocal and an instrumental celebration. I remember one time I attended a church in Detroit and walked in, and it looked like a symphony up front. I mean, they had everything this gathered, and it was amazing. It was kind of an orchestra pit. I don't know what they call that, but it was a pit, and the orchestra was in that. And they played, and there were, I don't know, probably 600 pastors there. And you know, most pastors can sing. Three of us there couldn't. I sat beside two of them. But everybody else could sing. And I mean, just thinking about 500-600 men and their bass voices just singing unto the Lord, and then all of those instruments just singing. It was just an amazing service. And this is what's taking place here. I mean, these string instruments playing and the trumpets going and the cymbals clanging and people singing. This is just a worship there. And these singers who are there worshiping and celebrating. Now look at verse 30. It says, "And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall." So there was a ceremonial washing that took place. A washing of themselves, a washing of their clothes. There was a time of prayer and a time of fasting as these people prepared themselves for this time of worship. No doubt, sin offerings were offered up for individuals. And as they went out and purified the walls, there would have been a sprinkling of blood on the walls as a sign, as a reminder of the purification that needed to take place. And notice, it's the spiritual leaders who were first purified. As we look at the nation of Israel, and we watch them in their history, oftentimes it's the leaders that drift away, and they take everybody else with them. You look at the ministry of Jesus, and it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, the religious leaders who were opposed to Jesus Christ. But here we see these religious leaders seeking to be right before God, seeking to be purified before God, to lead everybody in this. It says they purified the people. All were purified in this. Now, this is about to get really exciting. Look at verse 31. "Then I brought the leaders of Judah." This is Nehemiah writing in the first person. "Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall, and I appointed two choirs that gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall to the dung gate, and after them went Hoshaiah and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests, sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zechur, the son of Asaph, and his relatives, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milalai, Goliah, Mai, Nathanael, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra, the scribe, went before them. At the fountain gate, they went up straight before them by the stairs of the city of David, at the accent of the wall, above the house of David, to the water gate, on the east. So as we look at this, they placed two choirs on the walls. The walls, excavations have found this wall of Nehemiah to be about 9 feet wide at the top. Remember when they were building this and they said that that's not going to hold anything. An animal's going to walk across that and bump into it and the whole wall is going to cave in. Nehemiah gets two choirs, stands them on the wall, 9 feet wide, marches one group to the south, and they are appointed to give thanks. And the first choir marches to the south. Then there's a choir that goes north. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed them. With the half of the people on the wall above the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Ashana and by the fish gate and the Tower of Hananel and the Tower of Hundred to the sheep gate, and they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. This group, they marched north. Notice that Nehemiah was in their presence. Ezra was with the other choir. Nehemiah was with this group. And they are singing praises as they walk counterclockwise and clockwise around the wall. Imagine what this would have done to the foreigners outside of the wall. What an impressive display of worship. What an impressive display of how sturdy the wall was, able to support them. You know, those outsiders were bad-mouthed on that wall. And then this singing takes place, and they walk out of their homes outside of the city, and they look. They see these groups of people walking on the wall, singing, cymbals playing, trumpets blowing, harps and lyres playing, and people singing, choirs walking on the walls. Look at verse 40. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and the half of the officials with me, and the priests Eliakim, Messiah, Menamin, Micaiah, Alonai, Zechariah, Hananiah, with trumpets, Messiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzai, Jehohanan, Malchijah, Elam, Ezer, and the singers sang with Jezariah as their leader. And they offered great sacrifices that day, and they rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. How fitting was this? Ezra present, leading one half of the people. Nehemiah present, leading the other people. And those two groups converge. Where would you have those two groups converge? The temple of God. The house of God. And this spiritual center of the nation is where they gather. And the worship continues. The worship continues, singing with musical instruments, sacrifices being offered up, worship taking place, rejoicing with great joy, giving praise to God. not praise to Ezra, not praise to Nehemiah, but giving praise to God.
Amen.
Realizing that God was the one who did all of this. Realizing that they owed everything to God. And this wall was dedicated. Now, there's some temple service designation that takes place here. What? Hey. There's some temple service designation here. I'm just kidding, by the way. There's some temple treasures that are appointed. Verse 44. On that day, men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites, according to the fields of the towns. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. Now, these men were in charge of the storehouse. And these men kept track of everything that came in and everything that went out. And they appreciated those who ministered over them. And notice what it says there in verse 44. They gathered them the portions required by the law. This was a group of people that had not been following the law. That's why they were in exile. But now that they're home, they're worshiping God, they're rejoicing, and they're following the law. They're being obedient. They're setting aside these things for the Levites who ministered over them. Now notice verse 45. They performed the service of their God, the service of purification. Do you think that was important? This whole mindset of worshiping God was based on this purification, this desire for them to be in a right standing before God. And as a result of that, worship was pouring out of them. Celebration was pouring out of them. And they followed this service of purification. It was a very strict instructions that the law of Moses had given them. And they followed it. Washing and sacrifices being made. Because as they worshiped God, they desired to be in that right standing before God. Verse 45 says, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. The singers and the gatekeepers were Levites. They'd been given this assignment. And they followed this same purification procedure. They followed it. Because they wanted a right standing before God. They did not want to harm in any way the worship. Did not want to distract or take away from the worship that was taking place. These songs of praise and thanksgiving were sang. Next time you read through the book of Psalms, look for the name Asaph. Look for the name David. Those are the ones who wrote those thanksgiving psalms. These guys sang these songs as they celebrated and as they worshiped. Verse 47 says this, and all Israel in days of Zerubbabel and then in days of Nehemiah gave daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. And they set apart that which was for the Levites, and the Levites set apart that which was for the sons of Aaron. For the singers and the gatekeepers, David portions were given. David had given instructions that they too needed to be received these daily portions. And all of this was set aside for them. As we look at the history of Israel, there were times when the Levites and the priests were neglected. But now they're taking care of the Levites and the priests and the song leaders and the gatekeepers are all being cared for and provided for. What a time this was for the nation of Israel. What a celebration this was for Israel. So we see the priestly restoration. We see the wall dedication. And we see the temple service. And the temple service being designated. So as we think about all of this, what do we take home from this? What do we apply to our lives? Does this even have anything to do with us? You know, sometimes as Christians, we have a reputation of being men and women of doom and gloom. But you know what? Because of Jesus Christ, I think we have great reason to celebrate. Because of what Christ has accomplished for us, because of the forgiveness of sin that has taken place, because of Jesus Christ, we should celebrate. And you know, we gather on Sunday mornings, which is the first day of the week, which is a celebration of the empty tomb, because that happened on the first day of the week. How can our gatherings not be gatherings of celebration? Because you know what? The tomb is still empty. The religious leaders tried to find, but it didn't happen. They said you went to the wrong tomb. But you know what? They never found the right tomb. Because they never produced the body of Jesus Christ. Because the tomb was empty. We have a reason to celebrate. Victory is ours. Jesus has given us victory over sin and over death. And you know what? That should give us reason to celebrate. Looking at this passage, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. I know a group of you did. Singing is mentioned again and again and again and again. Kind of a focal point of this worship. Kind of a focal point of this celebration. That's what happens, is this singer. And you know, as I read this singing, as I thought about the different times that you see in the Old Testament where the temple people gathered together, singing was something that was present. And that kind of made me wonder, do you think God enjoys singing? I think God does. I'm not a singer, but I think God enjoys singing. I think it's something that God enjoys, our worship of Him. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember. That that is a great way to give God glory. God has given some of you the talent of being able to sing. Are you using your talent for God's glory? Sometimes we think of that as maybe not so important of a talent. But are we seeking to use that talent for God's glory? Maybe there's a talent that we have that doesn't usually go recognized in the top 10 talents to have. Do we use that talent for the glory of God? Singers being called from everywhere to come and to worship and to lead the nation of Israel in this time of worship. I can't help but imagine
that they were seeking to do their best to glorify God. Do we do our best to glorify God with whatever talent we have? As I look at this group, as I see this, even though one marched north and one marched south, isn't this unity just amazing? God be worshiped and God be glorified. I think in this worship, God is the focal point. And you know, when God is the focal point, everything else falls away. Yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. What is our focal point? What is our focal point as individuals? What is our focal point as a church?